Podtacular episode 227, Halo Reach Impressions, for the week of May 17th, 2010.
And welcome to Podtacular episode 227. I am Duststorm.
I'm G. Lewis. The Isle of Lewis.
And I'm Brent Gamer.
Check out BrentGames.net. And you will...
No, don't check that out.
Or GLewis.net.
Like, don't give that crazy website any publicity, you know?
I'm just kidding.
See, now people are going to think BrentGames.com is mine.
No.
It is. It is not mine at all. I don't even know what it is.
It's like it's a poker website.
Oh.
Brent Games. Brent, do you have a problem?
No.
You have a poker problem?
I have a Pokemon problem.
He's a Pokemaniac. Dude, if Yuzumaki was a real Pokemon, would you use him?
If what was a Pokemon?
Yuzumaki. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
If you were better than Mewtwo, I guess. Anyway. Anywho, this is going to be another Reach show. This is going to be the second show post-Reach launch. And probably by the time that you hear this, it'll be done with.
No.
It'll be dead.
Oh.
Should be dead by the time you read this. So, I guess we're going to go over our final thoughts about the beta.
Well, this is more like our first thoughts. We'll have other shows, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll do another one, an official one, where we get your guys' thoughts, too. But
I think we'll,
right now,
I think we'll
it's going to be our thoughts, what we think. And that's why you guys listen, because you know what we think, right?
Yeah.
I care.
This is more of an impromptu show where we kind of decided just to go ahead and do one since we hadn't done one in a while. So we'll have a more
we're
of
giving you
one later.
We're giving you something because we thought we should.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no, that
but
is.
Anyway, the Reach Boys been on for a while, and anybody who watched the last episode, it was pretty cool. I actually enjoyed it. I've watched it like twice, personally. So if you haven't, head over to our website and check out the video version because it's quite fun watching Dusty get owned and own some people.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Cool. Watch some cool armor locks and whatnot. So check that out because I liked the last episode. Pretty cool. Even though people were complaining about the audio, but
yeah,
I thought it was,
yeah. It was our first time doing something like that, and it was more just a test to see what I could do, and it actually turned out. I thought it turned out pretty well for the little time I had to prepare for it. And the equipment that I had, so
I think
we'll do something like that in the future.
Yep.
Hopefully, we'll do more videos in the future. Because we got summer now, so we got nothing to do. We got nothing to do. Brent is going to write some videos.
Yeah.
I already heard him say it, right, Brent? You already said you're going to write them.
What am I going to do?
You're going to write some
videos. What kind of videos? What kind of?
We were supposed to do that when we were talking.
Triple X videos. I'll write
those. No.
Oh, Beaver Zone. Beaver Zone song. Like, people think they can write songs. When you sit down to write a song, it is impossible. It is tough. All right, I learned that the hard way. Like, I wrote lyrics for the Beaver Zone song, and then I'd, like, read them over and over and over again in my brain. I'm like, oh, my God, this is awful. this isn't funny at all.
Traveling from the atrium. Get this going to do tonight. I can see it right.
Well, he actually came up with something. We just hadn't done anything.
Oh, I got it. I have a complete song. It's just bad.
Because then I went always to the
yes, right.
Beat. See, I'm not of the belief. I think that some things are worse than nothing. Sometimes nothing is better than something.
Like, what's her name?
The crabs. With crabs, nothing is better than something.
When it comes to diseases, nothing is worth better than something.
Yeah.
But when it comes to co-hosts, something is better than nothing. Sometimes nothing is better than something.
What are you saying, Greg?
I'm trying to say when we get extra people, sometimes it would have been beneficial. Okay. But we love them all. I love all you guys. Everybody listening. Except for you.
Well,
there's probably about 20 people going out right now. It's like, Chilos doesn't like me anymore. It's okay. Chilos doesn't like many people anyway, so...
No, I like a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm joking. Okay, so today's an impromptu show where we're just going to talk about stuff that we like.
We got submissions, even though we didn't ask for them.
Yeah, we actually got a decent amount.
Unsolicited. No.
We should just stop asking.
But, yeah, we're just going to talk about Reach, whatever comes to mind, I guess, at this point. We don't have any special guests today. We'll try to start setting those up again.
Yeah.
After we all get settled
in. Kind of a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah. Once summer starts its regular course without everyone moving and finishing up with school, then we'll get back and onto a more regular schedule. And we'll probably have to...
I ain't going nowhere, right? I mean, you're the one that's going to Virginia.
Yeah.
I'm trying to brag.
Yeah.
Once we're...
I need to go on like a Plotacular World Tour.
What?
Like nation tour.
Plotacular.
Just go around like telling people about Plotacular. Oh man, like, I want to go to Tokyo bad. That's gonna be awesome.
We should go like Bible verses go door to door. Have you guys heard of the Foo?
The Church of Foo? Remember that?
Church of Foo.
Church of Foo.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was hierarchy. Whatever.
Or Fooism. I guess it was
Fooism, yeah.
Into the beta. Did you guys, who played? I'm going to assume we all did. I know I did with Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, I played the beta. A little bit. Yeah.
No, I was going to say the network test type. Did you want generated?
Oh, yeah, I played that two games.
Extremely laggy.
It didn't like it.
It didn't lag for me. It just sucked.
It was more than that. Well, okay, here's what I don't get about that game type. You see Invasion, which, in my opinion, it seems like it would be more of a network test than generator defenses. I mean, Boneyard's bigger. Isn't it?
I'm guessing maybe they would try to see how...
I'm thinking
certain...
Bungie has a secret, you know? Bungie has some secret stuff going on that
But what kind of stuff do they have going on there that caused it to make a half a second lag? I mean, I played a game...
I don't know!
If I knew
that, I'd be on Kotaku right now, you know, writing an article. Brian Crescente would be like, we just got word from a source, Brent Gamer, that Bungie's blankety-blanked. Like, you know?
Oh, I went on a rant the other day about...
Against Brian Crescente?
No, just how the media, like Kotaku, Joystick, and all those other Game Informer...
I love Joystick.
They really don't do Halo justice because they have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, I listened to the Joystick podcast and I listened to them talking about they don't even know what they're talking about. And
I mean, the focus rifle is pretty much just a weapon that shouldn't even be used.
No, they call it the beam rifle. And it's not even the beam rifle.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and about people that play hundreds upon hundreds of games every year. I mean, they can't keep up. We have the luxury of being able to specialize. We play Halo all the time. They don't have that luxury. They have to go out and play crappy games like Nier or like just
Dude, Nier was
stuff.
Not that bad.
But the thing, I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
But like, okay, look at how many games Giant Bomb put out this reviews for this week. They had to review Lost Planet 2, Skate 3, 3D Dot Game Heroes. They're gonna have to review Red Dead Redemption by Tuesday. They reviewed Alan Wake. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is coming out. They're obviously gonna have to review that. They have all of these games. They can't specialize in one game.
No, I'm not necessarily blaming it on the news sites. I'm thinking. Well, they got their pre-release codes for Being News and whatnot, and how come we can't get it? We can write a decent review that probably everyone else
can't. Because nobody listens to us, Dustin, because we're small fries. I mean, I'm saying we are better. We know more about Halo than any of those news sites do. This is obvious. We are more knowledgeable about Halo and the franchise than they do. But the difference between us and them is that they have thousands. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe they have millions of hits. I don't know. But I know that Kotaku has thousands upon thousands of readers. And if you want somebody, this was put out as a promotional stunt. A lot of it. Whenever they sent those beta codes, the friends and family beta codes out to the media outlets, it was with the intention that the media outlets are going to play it and they're going to put up some early previews and shit so that people can read about the game. They want Halo Reach in front of people. They want the news sites writing about Halo Reach. It doesn't matter what they write. It doesn't.
Oh.
They're not looking
for quality. They're looking for quantity. Yeah.
What? Right. No, they just want Halo Reach in front of people. They want to keep Halo Reach. They want to keep Halo Reach in the minds of gamers. That's all they want. Because they realize that. I mean, and if you read them, there's not a whole lot of negative reviews or previews on the Reach beta from these websites. They know that they put out a good game, and anything that those websites say is going to be instantly negated by the millions upon millions of people that are going to buy Halo Reach anyway. The reason they put the game out to these websites is so that they can get publicity. Not just merely by having presence on those sites is helping them out. I don't know how to explain it. You kind of see what I'm saying?
I think that's a bunch of bull.
It's not bull.
I see what you're saying.
It's fucking. Maybe it's bull from the ethics of it, and from a hardcore gaming standpoint. But from a marketing standpoint, it's genius. You want Halo Reach in the minds of people that read that website. You want to keep your game relevant. When people stop hearing about your game, they start forgetting about it. Like I think about things like Half-Life 3. I haven't thought about Half-Life 3 in 2 years because Half-Life 3 hasn't put out any information on itself in, like, 2 years. I mean, the most information we have about Half-Life 3 is two pieces of concept art. Okay, so if you're not putting out anything to the media can't write articles on it, and it can't be in the presence of gamers. It has no presence. This is it. It's all about presents. That's what I'm saying.
I like presents. Can I get a present for?
I like presents.
I think it's a different kind of presents that he's
Are
talking.
Are you sure?
Yes. This is the presence presents.
So I'm not getting anything.
These aren't the fun presents.
The fun presents.
I got you. So anywho, the game. I didn't like network generator. I didn't see any lag. I didn't notice that.
No, I. Every time I played, I got mat lag, and actually the last game, it was more than half a second lag. Like, it was so bad that when I had half shields, I was already dead.
I just didn't like it as a game type anyway, so I didn't have to worry about it.
I didn't like it as too much as a game type myself either. I didn't think that...
There needs to be more people, I think, and there needs to be more generator locations.
Yeah.
And whatever network tests they're running in the background needs to be removed, because I know Invasion is probably more of a resource hog game type on the base level than generator defenses, and whatever network code they're testing in the background is really interrupting with the gameplay itself, or maybe that's the only reason they have it, was to test that functionality. I don't know. But whatever they're hiding in the background running, it's really, I don't know.
For lack of better words, I on thee. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. I play with Adswell a few different games. I think me and Brent play with Adswell too, right?
I think we played two matches.
And he saved our butt. So thanks, Adswell, for saving our
butt. The only strategy I could come up with was destroy Bravo first, then worry about the other two.
Yeah, I mean, when you're an attacker, but I found it too easy as being a defender. I found it way too easy. Like, I mean, you're basically on top of the hill, you get all the weapons, The only downside you have is you're a Spartan. You know, I'm like, if the elites were on top, that would be,
yeah,
ridiculous. But I just didn't like it as a whole. I thought I was going to like it, but I thought the map was going to be bigger. But when we saw it, it didn't seem like it'd be that big.
Right.
I know that map looks like a good map for like a maybe a one flag CTF or stuff like High Ground.
Maybe.
It seems very comparable to High Ground.
It seems very open. There's not enough. Like if the top side had a sniper, it would be not fair. But I don't know. Maybe did anybody ever try running up behind where you spawned as an elite? I didn't even know what was up there. I never haven't even tried it.
Well, you know, I never tried it. Maybe I'm wrong, but from what I understood was that entire level was just a segment of a campaign level that they cut out.
Yeah.
And just slap the generators on there. Or maybe the generators are part of the...
Maybe, okay.
The single player, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, okay. Now that you're talking about it, maybe that was a test for single player campaign to see if they could...
Yeah, co-op.
Six player co-op. Maybe.
Co-op.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe we were actually playing a campaign game and we didn't even know it.
That would make the most sense to me.
That would make the most sense, actually.
Well, hopefully it doesn't lag that much when we get into it.
All right.
Did you get to your satellite, Brent? Or did
you try?
I didn't even bother. I've literally played three rounds of Network Test 1, and I was like, I'm over this. I don't want to play it anymore.
What if tomorrow we turn on Kotaku, and then there's a confirmed Network Test 1 is about co-op?
That would be pretty interesting.
Says the unofficial Halo Universe.
What if we turned on Kotaku and like Brian Ashcraft or someone put up an article saying, Duststorm from Podtacular.com blasts media for not knowing enough about Halo. Brent rambles on about presence.
That's probably another reason why we...
I could just see the comments. Example. What the hell was that Brit guy talking about for like 10 minutes? All I heard was
How are these people getting their beta stats and their form signature?
There's a site that's doing them.
Is it a screenshot? It looks like it's just a screenshot.
No, it's not a screenshot. It's an actual stat generator.
Because when I clicked it, it brings you to BNet.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
That just means that it links you to the stat page or whatever. But it could be a third party SIG and still linked to BNet. That doesn't mean anything.
Where's it located? Where's the SIG located at?
It's in the forum. It's in Chucky's forum. I was looking through the pod tagger forum and it's in Chucky's.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't hold on. Let me pull up the properties.
I mean, I have one that's mygamercard.net.
Yeah, it's mygamercard.net. Never mind.
Yeah.
Jeez. Here, let me see if I can do one. Sorry, I was just bringing that up. Anyway, yeah, I think Invasion is great, though. I don't really like Invasion Slayer. I do have a rule, though. If I'm playing by myself, and if I'm an elite, I immediately go to Invasion Slayer and just choose that. But if I'm a Spartan, I immediately choose Invasion.
I haven't gotten a chance to play Invasion Slayer. I've voted for it, and there's been times where it's been 6-6, but it hasn't tipped over. So
do you know anything about it? You don't know a thing?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it's just an all-out vehicle war.
No, I mean it's territory/slayer for those of you who haven't played it yet. That
invasion slayer? Territories.
The territory aspect is stupid. Here's the thing about the territory thing. What you do is there are territories kind of strewn across the map, and your team can go over to the territories, and if you capture them, you have to wait like 10 seconds for a weapon drop. And then the weapon drop comes, but anybody can get them. Anybody can pick up the weapons.
You're talking about invasion?
So all I got to do is wait for somebody to take the territory, kill them, then wait however many seconds for the weapon drop and just take the weapons. Like, it's almost a non-factor.
Yeah, there's
no huge benefit
in
taking the territory.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you get the territory, eventually the weapons come down, and depending on who gets it, the Spartans at least, it depends on what you get and what tier you're currently in. Because at 25, you go to tier 2, and then at 50, you go to tier 3. Basically, what that means, your loadouts are different. Your first tier, it's just the humans just get one loadout, if I remember correctly. And
right.
Sprint,
AR, and pistol.
Yeah, and then on the second tier, you get, I guess it's the same exact tiers as Invasion. It may be the same exact tiers. On the second tier, you just get two of them. You get the AR loadout, and then you get the DMR loadout. And then on the fifth one, you basically just get everything. I mean, on the third one, you just get everything. But I think the Elites are overpowered like crazy in Invasion Slayer, though. It seems like no matter what team I'm on, I usually win.
Yeah, because I'm awesome.
It just seems to be that way, because, the Elites just have the advantage in every single way in that, because they're stronger, they're faster, even though they say the Elites are more nimble, but, I mean, the Spartans are more nimble, but I don't really know how that works. That's what I think about Invasion Slayer. I think it's okay, but I don't really want to play it often. I think eventually it would be good if you get the chance to make it as a custom game. I could see as a custom game it would be pretty cool, but not for what they have it right now.
Okay.
Because like I don't like it that the loadouts are tank toward the end, and then every time it's tank, and it's just ridiculous because there's no way to kill the tank, because the only way you could get a rocket launcher before is if the humans got the spot and then didn't drop the rocket launcher. But from there on out, it's just Wraith or tank. And I would say if the humans get three tanks, I mean, it's not even a contest. The Elites cannot win. You can win, you know. But, I mean, if you had smart people playing, then it would be very difficult to win. And then I like Invasion a lot, though. Invasion is probably among everybody else's my favorite new. I liked Rush a lot in Battlefield 2, and this is
this exactly, is right up your alley.
This is exactly the same exact thing. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I played a few. It's all right. I still haven't gotten used to the whole map yet, where everything's located at.
Oh, really? It's pretty easy. I mean, the only things that spawn in Slayer are the two weapons at the start of when the Elites get the first tier, and then the Banshee, the Ghost, and the Wraith, they all spawn in the same spot.
Uh-huh.
They spawn out in the main courtyard from the first time. Remember the Elites originally spawned in the first tier? That's where all the vehicles spawn. Once the vehicles drop, that's where they're at.
Yeah.
And then the focus rifle and the plasma launcher are to the right, to the left on the stairs at the very top. I guess you would call it the bulkheads, at the very left of the bulkheads. And I don't believe that they respawn. I haven't actually tried to see if they respawn. Do you know if they respawn, Brett?
I don't know. I don't think they do.
I mean, I haven't figured out if they respawn. So, I just did my gamer card of Halo Reach, and it says I've only played 23 games, and I've definitely played over 70. I don't get it.
Yeah.
So this thing is very slow. But I hope that we get to see.
If this is the first time you've done it, they're probably still aggregating stats.
I gotcha. I just hope that in the future that I can see Invasion. But I don't want them just on that one map. Eventually it would get old. But.
Yeah, I hope we get... Oh, no, it seems... The Reach seems a lot more different in terms of what maps you're going to be able to play with what game types. I mean, a lot of Halo 3, you could play every game type on every map, but it seems like with Reach now and the game types that have come out for that you're going to have certain maps that you're going to be able to play certain game types, or there's only going to be certain maps you can play those game types on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Invasion, for example. Like, you can probably still play CTF and Slayer on Boneyard, but Boneyard's going to be one of the only maps you can play Invasion on. Like, you wouldn't be able to play Invasion on Powerhouse. It's too small.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna assume that there's gonna be a way. I don't know though, but maybe in Forge that you can make it happen.
For something like Powerhouse or Sword Base, you think?
I mean, if you really wanted to, and I would assume you could.
I don't know. It wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would just assume you could through Forge. Like, if you really, really wanted to, you can make one on Forge. But other than that, I mean, I don't think Bungie's going to make them. Even though they did say in the Bungie podcast that the maps that are made for... right now, the maps that are made for Invasion are... You can play other game types on them, but you can't play Invasion on maps that aren't made for Invasion. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just assume that that would change, but I don't know if that's true or whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
So, I would hope that you could do that. Because, I mean, you know, the more you limit people, the less potential fun that we could all have. Because I'm pretty sure somebody out there could come up with an awesome game type on...
Yeah, but then when it comes to map packs, they could probably make more maps, and then, like, each map could be basically a new map for a certain game type.
Yeah.
If they did it that way.
I don't think we'll see generator defense though. I don't see that happening.
Well, if depending on if they took all the back end code that they're testing out of it, generator defense could stand as a game type. Whether it'd be a good game type is another question. I think. Cause I think I would have liked it a little bit if there wasn't as much lag. And,
oh, generator lag? I don't know. It doesn't seem there's enough people. Cause,
yeah, there's definitely not enough people on either side.
Especially none for the elites, because if the elites aren't smart and take out Bravo first, then if the Spartans all just hang out inside of the base and cover B for Bravo, I mean, it's too easy.
Yeah, but a big factor in that game type was lag, and whoever was host... That team always won, at least when I played it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So.
Maybe I was always host. Maybe that's why I didn't see any lag.
I never saw any real lag.
I had horrible lag.
I never saw a thing.
At least last game I had horrible lag. The other times I played, I had significant lag. And, I mean, I was able to play it decently, but I don't know. Let's just drop generator defense for now.
Yeah, I mean, well, Invasion I think is pretty cool. I would say that you can either play on the first tier as the elite. You basically have to split up in two in order, at least at the very start of it, at least attack both sides, or it doesn't work very easily unless you're playing against the total retards. Because I found out that most of the Spartans, at least against me, I can chill out in the first tier. I'm considering first tier as when you have to go up to the bulkheads and you get the left or the right one and you can,
okay,
get into the left or the right one.
Yeah,
I can sit in there for a good 20 seconds before I even see one of the Spartans try to after me. I mean, a lot. So
I think the idea at that point is to go for both of them and have them split up.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems that the left one's a lot easier to get than the right one. I'm guessing because you have more room as the elites. But you know, if you can work together on either side, it's quite easy. I would like to have a game where it's a custom game where you have 6-for-6, because I can see that being very difficult. Because if it was me and I had a battle bro who was on my
just like 6v6 Slayer or.
No, I mean, no, on regular Invasion. Like, on regular Invasion, if it's 6-for-6, I could see that being very fun against people.
It was 6v6.
It is 6v6, dude.
No, I'm trying to say against, like, right now you're playing against people who are, they don't know what they're doing. At least that's what I've come into. Like, if you played against 6 people on your friends list, you had 6 people on your friends list.
Oh, are you talking about the fact that when you go in with 6 people, it splits you up?
No, I'm just saying that it's too easy when you're playing against random, because they don't seem like they're coordinated enough to, you know, stop you or defend it or actually win the game. The only time I ever really had that much fun on Invasion was when we played with 12 people in our party, and then we entered Invasion. And that was pretty hard, because everybody was pretty good at Halo, and we all understood what to do, and we could communicate and everything. But when you played with, like, if you had a teammate, if you had a team of six and went in there against a team of six, and it just so happened that you all got teamed together, it was too easy to beat the other team. I mean, they don't communicate, but it was pretty fun overall. I enjoyed it. I mean, did you guys like it?
I liked Invasion for the few games I got a chance to play.
Oh, you haven't played it that much?
I've played maybe 5 games of it.
I played maybe 20, 30.
I haven't had much time to play.
Yeah.
Have you sconed anybody yet, Brent?
Have I what?
Sconed anybody?
Sconed anybody?
That's when you're the Spartans and the elites don't get the first tier.
Huh? Shut out? Where in the hell did you get this scone word from? Explain this to me.
He says it when you get it. When you win, it goes, sconed.
I've only heard him say shut out.
He says sconed when I do it.
Well, I've shut out people in the first tier, and whenever, maybe he does say sconed, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was.
I haven't been in the game.
Scones are tasty.
I haven't been in a game where we've held the first tier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you haven't played enough. Eventually you did.
I haven't played enough, yeah.
I don't think I did my first 5 games either. But was there any improvements you could see to Invasion?
More players. We need those last 4 in there.
Yeah.
You mean...
Increase the time and make them capture both territories before unlocking the core. I would.
Yeah, I could see that. Get both of them.
I think, or at least with the amount of people, capturing only one of those territories seems a little too easy.
Yeah, and both of them. It's hard to get the core, though. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is quite easy to get the points where you have to get 20 seconds or 30 seconds in, but getting the core is quite hard, especially against a team of people who know what they're doing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not very difficult, but I know half the time when I'm a Spartan, they don't... I've probably only lost as a Spartan maybe once or twice, maybe. At the most twice, but... You know, it just seems to be too easy.
I only won once as a Spartan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I found the Spartan to be...
Out of 6 games that I played, I think the Elites won 5 times. And I actually scored the core in one of them.
Yeah, I scored the core twice, I think.
Yeah.
I remember yesterday when Brent... Before Brent and I played, me and Adswell played Invasion. And... the guy was running with the core up to the Phantom, and he was at the very bottom of the first set of stairs.
Uh-huh.
And me and Adswell spawned on the Warthog, so we got into it, and they were in sudden death. And right before he got to the stairs, I ran him over, and then it stopped, so we won. Right before he got there, like, we just ran past everybody else.
And that's funny.
Friggin' ran over the guy with the core and we just won. It was pretty awesome.
I bet that guy was pissed.
Yeah, I would have been. I've been like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Because they had a wraith and everything and we just went right past them.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that, that's why you like Halo. It's not like Slayer, oh, I owned you. No, it's about objective. About, you know, got that last kill or the last flag in at the last second. Mm-hmm. At least that's how it was in Halo 2, Halo 3. I didn't notice that as much. The objective was kind
of... Yeah, a lot of the stuff that makes Halo good is all the last second stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty right. Awesome. Kind of like, I think Armor Lock gives you that quite often, because...
Yes.
The coolest thing in Reach is when you effectively use the armor lock and then your teammate kills a guy who was just about to kill you.
Oh, I've done that plenty of times, and I've actually done that, and I'll turn around and kill the guy that tried to kill me before he kills me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just... Like if you do it right before he takes your shields out, and then if you do it for the entire duration of the armor lock, your shields will respawn. So when you come back out, you got full
shield. If you have a little shield left, then it really doesn't matter, because if he tries to melee you after you're done, he just takes out your shields, which I really don't like the melee system.
Oh, you don't? No, I think it's
really hate the melee system.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Like, you could have 5% shields, and they hit you, and all I do is take out that 5% of your shields.
Yeah.
If I have a swing powerful enough to break your shields, I should be able to follow through and hit you.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know? Like, it seemed like they added health, but I hope they
fix that system.
I really don't see where health as health has helped me all too much. Like, wasn't it in like, let's just say in Halo 1, if you had an assault rifle against you, the second that the guy takes out your shield, every shot takes 1 point of health away, if I was right. In this one, it doesn't seem to do it the exact same way. Or have you guys ran into that? I don't think that health is really too much of an issue at all.
I don't think that health's an issue. I think the melee system is broken, though.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I'm perfectly fine with the health system as it is.
So it's basically either that's melee fine. First or don't melee at all, is that what you're saying?
Well, kind of. I mean, because
if you only have
I'll be shooting... I mean, I'm used to Halo 3. I'll be shooting someone, get them low shields. They'll come up and smack me first, and then they have low shields. I smack them. Oh, wait. I only take out their shields, so they smack me again, and I'm dead.
Right.
Yeah. No. I guess that's why I've been meleeed a lot. Those, and I have lost.
Yeah.
Or that, you could just pull a ninja and just jump over him, you know. I'm kidding.
And then there's the BXB glitch.
You can do that again?
Yeah. BXB, and it's basically, it's a double melee instantly when you hit someone.
Do you have to be a certain loadout or a certain...
No.
It's BXB it's in what?
Animation glitch.
What does X do? X is... I mean, I play Recon, so...
Yeah, I play Recon too. What is... I know...
X is active. X is active or reload.
Well,
X is reload, so it's...
It's on change recon, grenade, it's, I think. Change grenade.
I know, but it'd be different. We would have to use the same, but so for us it would be B, bumper. Right bumper, B.
I should try that. I never even thought about trying it. I haven't noticed anybody do it to me, so that's why I haven't thought about trying it. But have you done it or has it been done on you?
I haven't tried it, but I've seen it done.
Okay. I just haven't, you know, anyway. Let's read one of the submissions. You want to do that?
Well, we didn't talk about Headhunter in the last podcast either, so...
Oh, yeah.
I actually have not played Headhunter, so you guys...
You haven't played Headhunter?
No, I haven't.
I thought you'd be one of the people that'd be all over that.
No, actually, I have not played... I don't like SWAT, so I don't really...
Well, it's not SWAT. It's basically targeted Slayer.
But you don't have shields, right?
You have shields.
I haven't played it, so I don't know. I haven't played it. I said that I haven't played it.
No, it's like Juggernaut Slayer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where you're basically going for the Juggernaut, but everyone has Slayer loadouts.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I honestly haven't played it, so I've pretty much... Either played the arena or I've played Invasion, and I've tried Network Gen. I haven't played too much grab bag, is what I'm trying to say. So.
I still remember that one time when Ace took all the skulls from Brent and got the Skull of Manjaro.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. I finally got one Skull of Manjaro on Headhunter on Powerhouse. That was the only one I've gotten.
I haven't gotten. The most goals I've scored at one time, I think, is 6.
Oh, really? Yeah. So what happens is, like, is it? Do you find yourself going after the guy with 10?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people go for trying to get the 10 and scoring the 10. And
yeah, I guess people must listen.
Powerhouse, I think it's a little bit easier to do because those skulls blend in with the water really easily. So if you actually go and look for those when the deposit point's about to move and hit into the water, if you find all those skulls and just sit there and wait, you could probably get an easy skull in Manjaro.
No, that's what I did. There's this area down at the, I don't even know the call out for it, but at the, when you spawn on attacker side on CTF, to the very right, you know that cliff?
The bridge.
All the way, waterfall. Yeah. Yeah, all the way at the waterfall. Down past the waterfall, there's this area where all of the skulls roll downhill.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bunch of people, like, kill each other right there, and then they don't pick the skulls. So while they're all fighting over at the goal area, just grab all the skulls that have kind of accumulated at that little downhill area. Wait. And then run in for the... Yeah, wait for it. Wait until the goal changes. Grab all the skulls and then go over to that goal. That's how I got my Skull Manjaro.
Would you find a good team method to play the game? Like, two people, maybe...
Well, there's going to be team Headhunter.
Yeah.
They said that there's going to be one in the final version.
Yeah, would you say that there would be a good team method?
I think so. One goes killing and one picks up the skulls. It'd be like me with the sniper and you just go BR everyone.
Yeah, the guy with the skulls would be the sniper guy. Be in the back.
Well, no, because he'd have to be stationary.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get the skulls automatically. You gotta go run over and get them.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. So right now it's only free for all right now.
Yeah, it's FFA. No team matches in the beta.
I mean, I know they increased the radius to pick up the skulls too. I still think it needs to be increased a little bit more. It seems like the radius is still too narrow.
I haven't played, so
it was awful in the original version.
Yeah, you had to stand right over it. Like, you had to be touching it in order to pick it up. Like, your player model had to be physically touching it.
Yeah.
In order to pick it up.
I mean, is that bad?
It's awful, because by the time you pick it up, somebody's shooting you in the fucking head. That's crazy. But for real, you're trying to pick these skulls up. You're trying to get your feet to touch the ball or the heads.
And you're running around in circles. You don't want to look down because then someone else will run in and kill you.
Yeah.
And the skulls shoot up when you kill them instead of just dropping.
Yeah, that's stupid too. Like, when you kill somebody, you can't pick it up automatically because they pop up into the air. So you have to wait for them to fall down or catch them as they fall down.
Like, if I assassinate someone, like, do the animated assassination, I should pick up all of their skulls.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I think I've done that, though. I think I've been in a situation where, like, when I assassinated them, it gave me the skull.
I mean, so you said if you assassinate him, then it might just give it to you automatically?
Yeah. I think that's happened. I'm not sure. Dustin might be right. But it might only happen in, like, certain circumstances. Like, it'll happen some of the time.
Like, I know in Sword Base, whenever you're in that... the bottom hallway where the sniper spawn is that goes up to the lift, I know if you kill someone in there, they shoot right up and come back down just because the wall's right... The ceiling's right on top of you, so you... But... I mean, I'll kill someone and I'll jump up to grab the skull because it's in the air. I just think that there's a lot of game mechanics for most all the game types, except for Slayer. I mean, Slayer, you really couldn't mess that up.
CTF is being pretty even.
Yeah, but the return radius... still seems a little small.
Oh, really? Yeah, kind of like Invasion. I mean, you have to be standing on top of that dang thing to return it.
They need to take off the grav lift on a CTF sword base.
No, that's a
seriously. It is
a strategic point.
No, I know. I understand that's a strategy, but that's a strategy that is almost impossible to fail. Every CTF game that I've played where our teams were equally matched, like my team was as good as their team, we've both ended with like two flag caps each. Because it is almost impossible to screw that strategy up unless you just have morons on your team. That game is actually more fun when you have to run around the base, when you have to go like across the beams.
Well, that's actually whenever you guys were waiting for the playlist things, like on the first day it released, And I was playing those. We actually ran all the way up from my first two games, and we won both of those.
Yeah, like, that's what I did too until I discovered that I could.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
No, you finished my sentence off.
Right, that's what I did too for the first two games. I did the little runaround thing, and that was actually fun. Like, I enjoyed that, and then I discovered, hey, wait a minute, I can jump on this grav lift, toss the flag up to that little top level, like, right next to the flag capture point. Then, if I've got a jetpack, I'll just hit the jetpack, grab the flag, and just run off with it. Go score.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to screw up.
Well, I don't think I'm personally not thinking that sword base is really intended to be a capture flag.
And the way they have it laid out, too, you can't get from the bottom level to the top level very quickly. Like, the very bottom level to any of the top levels, you can't get to very quickly unless you go up one of the lifts or you walk from the other base to your base on the catwalks, or if you have a jetpack.
Jetpack!
Jetpack.
Jetpack. That's what I do.
That's what I use.
I'm kidding. Actually, jetpack. Actually, there has been seldom times when I'm able to choose that I don't choose armor lock. Especially if I play with people that I know, I will 100% of the time choose armor lock.
What did you guys think of the new Juggernaut?
I hate it. Juggernaut has way too much health. Just nerf the Juggernaut and it's fine.
Like,
I swear to God. I was playing Juggernaut the other day. I had the focus rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I put two, you know how it overheats and you have to wait and then go again? Yeah. I put two full overheat focus rifle shots into the Juggernaut. Didn't die.
It's because for some reason they make the Juggernaut invulnerable for 20 seconds whenever they first get that kill.
Oh, you can't move.
Is that what it is?
If you look, like, okay. I played Juggernaut a couple times, and when I became Juggernaut...
Why is he invulnerable for 20 seconds? Why don't they tell you that?
I don't know. I mean, once your shields start going down... Okay, I like... Besides the part that you're invulnerable for 20 seconds, I like Juggernaut because they give you overshield, and your shields go down, and you don't regain your shields back as a Juggernaut. It's like you start with your overshield, and once you lose your shields, you're gone. But when you're invulnerable for 20 seconds after you get that first kill, that just kills the game because everyone's rushing towards it, and oh... In the next 10 seconds of the game, it's already over. Because every kill you get is 10 points, and it's 150 points to win.
I could understand, okay, the 20-second thing is
that's the only
bad,
thing
that, but I can understand how you can make that mechanic work. If you tell people, if you give it a timer, if you have a timer over the Juggernaut's head that shows his 20 seconds, what people can do is the people can run away. So essentially... What happens is the Juggernaut's like a badass for 20 seconds and everybody has to like scatter, okay? So everybody's running away, Juggernaut's running around trying to catch these rats, and then after his 20 seconds gone, everybody, you know, rushes him trying to kill him, right? I can understand that. That's how I think you could make that mechanic work. But the mechanic is, it's stupid and it's not transparent. I didn't know he was invulnerable for 20 seconds until you just told me.
This is what I think that should happen. You know in the regular types, when you're charging up your overshield, no one can kill you because your overshield's recharging.
Yeah, but that duration's too short.
I can
understand giving the Juggernaut like 5 seconds to get away.
I say do something like that and then give him only 5 seconds. That would make the game type a whole lot better. But that 20 seconds of invincibility is stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid.
Because that's what's wrong with it. Because once you start actually losing shields, then the Juggernaut goes out pretty quickly. Because you have five shooting at him.
I can understand maybe if they were going for like a hide and seek aspect where during that 20 seconds everybody's supposed to, you know, get the hell out of the way and then find somewhere to hide until his timer goes out. But that's not how they poise the game type.
No. Maybe
Juggernaut's
switching the game code. Maybe they didn't intend it to be that way. But that's a huge glitch.
Well, you think they would have fixed it by now if they fixed the radius on the headhunter?
Did they?
Ball.
I don't know. Did they really fix the radius in game though? Because I didn't get notification of an update in game. Maybe they just fixed it for the final version. Because I didn't see.
Maybe they did. Maybe. It might have been Final Version. I haven't played Headhunter in a while.
Because I didn't get any, like, a prompt for, oh, this game needs to be updated.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to do that. They can...
Auto-update.
Unless they have different game types.
I think they can do kind of a...
Can they auto-update a full system that quickly?
I mean, if it's in, like, let's say, if it's in a... And in Forge, if it's a game option, then I can see that. But if it's like they actually had to change code.
Of invincibility as a start of Juggernaut. Or are you talking about the radius thing?
We're just talking about the radius. I could see the radius of a skull being a variable that you can change in custom game types. So if it's something like that, then yeah, they could just like hotfix that in real quick without having to make you download a patch or anything. I know that, like, it's kind of like the thing with loadouts. Like, when they fixed Invasion to where Phase 1 Spartans don't get DMR anymore. Like, that didn't require an update.
I don't know if they fixed it.
Okay.
I like to have a DMR.
Oh, they fixed it because I got tired of getting plowed in the face whenever I'd spawn. I would spawn and I'd literally get killed instantly. Oh, and, I mean, it's hard enough getting up to that base. If you got idiot teammates... I mean, you can still kill people down there with the pistol. It just takes longer. You just switch to your pistol and start cross mapping with it.
Do you ever chase after them at the start of Invasion? Do you like run after the elite?
Yeah, I do that.
I do that too.
I love it when people try to do it to me because I kick their ass. Like I had one dude like jump off the ledge and like right when he jumped, I threw a plasma grenade where he's gonna land, and he landed right on it, killed him instantly. It's so funny.
I'm going to get you.
I'm going to get you, noob. I'm going to get you. Come get some.
Kaboom.
I enjoy Invasion. There's just some things that bother me with it. Like, I think they should have fixed it to where I can go in with a team of six and, you know, stick with that party. I like having a full party of my friends.
That would have been nice.
I also don't understand. It's almost like they treat the battle buddies as separate teams.
I mean, whenever you take
that's
the lead in
like,
Invasion,
I don't understand
players,
that. I can understand
Team A, C, or none lead.
How about instead of the groups of two, how about do groups of three, and have
that'd be okay too. Yeah. So if one of your battle buddies was stuck, you could switch to the other one maybe and respawn on.
Because normally, unless you're playing with people that are on your friends list, I mean, people don't give a shit about your battle bro. They don't care.
But then again, that would be limited to 12 instead of 16. But then you could do groups of four.
Yeah.
I can see that. That's how it is in Battlefield, though. I guess they just don't want to do the same thing as Battlefield.
Well, in Battlefield, you have different numbers of groups. You join a group, and that's the one you stick with.
What, in Battlefield?
Yeah.
You don't. There's only four people in a group.
Well, you can max out the four people.
Yeah, I mean,
you can have a variable number of people in the group. It's just the max is four.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you want to be your one-man crew, then go for it.
Which is quite nice. Any other game types we haven't touched on yet? I can't think of any.
Stockpile.
Oh, I love
Stockpile. About that last week, though.
I love Stockpile.
Yeah, you love Stockpile because you played the perfect game.
No, not just for that, but yeah, that's cool. You were in that too.
I didn't capture any flags that game, so I feel bad. I felt like I wasn't a part of that game. No, you should probably be even more proud because you played it with like basically 3-4 and you got the perfect game.
Yeah, one of the guys was AFK.
One of their guys?
Was it 3-4? I thought there was a full party on the other team.
No, I'm saying it was 3-4 because I didn't do anything.
I'm sure you killed people and helped us get...
I killed like some flag runners and stuff, but I didn't capture any flags.
Yeah, but that... So? It's a team game. Just because you don't...
Exactly! I didn't do anything for the team! I didn't put the flag in the hole!
Well, that's contributing to the team!
He didn't arm it. He didn't arm the flag.
It doesn't matter if you score it or not. It's a team. Team effort.
If you think about it, Stockpile is kind of arming the flag, you know, because you got to get it in there and wait.
Arm the flag, we found your solution.
Bungie's own homage to arm the flag.
Flag armed. Points collected.
I like stockpile. It's quite fun.
Flag armed. Flag planted. Flags collected. That'd be weird.
If flag was armed, I guess that'd be a cool feature. Like, if you stood in the spot for so long, then you could make the flag immovable so that, like, there's certain flags that the other team couldn't take. But you just stay in there for, like, 10 seconds.
Oh, no. I like how it is now. Like, you can go in and... I did that a few times.
You can just pick it up, drop it out, pick it up, drop it up.
No, but it's a game of offense and defense. You have to... I don't know. I like it. And I actually went one time and dropped two flags out of the enemy's capture zone, and they got pissed.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's hilarious. It's like you go in, like, oh no!
Especially at the end.
If you're behind, it gives your team that much more of an edge to come back. And then your team gets pissed.
Yeah, I don't like losing, I don't like winning and then losing, because. It sucks. But I do like losing and then winning, which is quite fun.
Except on sword base, it's really more balanced to blue team than it is red team.
Oh, blue team's got a big advantage because you could just spam grenades into red base.
Yeah, and for blue side, you have the two upstairs that you can... One person can just, like, drop them down from the top, and then the other person scores them in 10 seconds. For red team, you have to go up, then you have to drop them down, run up your ramp... And then score it.
Yeah.
And not die.
And not die.
From grenades.
Which rarely happens.
Yeah. Quite difficult. I think stockpile is going to be a future of a lot of good Tales from the Foxhole.
I love stockpile. How about Elite Slayer?
Coveys? Yeah, good. Good. I like it. It's okay. What?
I don't...
Playing as the dinos.
It's okay. I mean, I like doing the evade. I think if MLG were to pick a game type, realistically, that should be the worm.
I had a few...
It's going to be Covey Slayer?
I had a
or few... DMR?
I had a few instances where I got stuck and I rolled into the guy that stuck me and I killed him. Wow, as he killed me. I really like that evade move.
Evade's great.
Yeah, that's what I do like it, babe.
Because if I get stuck, I know I can roll right into the guy that stuck me, and he's toast.
Yeah.
Toasty.
It's like, oh, payback.
I've done that in the opposite way, though, too. Like, I've stuck somebody, and they roll at me, and then I roll towards backwards. Them. Like, yeah.
Or you roll past them, yeah.
Yeah, I roll past them.
And then you just keep on going.
It's two-way street. Yeah.
Because you have two rolls instantly.
What do you guys think of Sprint?
I think the only two that I actually like to use is Sprint and Armor Lock.
Those are my two biggest favorites too. Is Sprint and Armor Lock.
Yeah, I don't.
Two I use the most.
Most people that I've run into don't use Stalker. I've actually enjoyed when I use Stalker. I just don't. I've used it a few
times, but I've never been able to use it effectively.
And I don't know how to use a jetpack yet. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, that's the one I use the most is jetpack. I like to jet around.
I use jetpack on exclusively sword base, pretty much.
Yeah.
Unless I'm on powerhouse, it needs something for, like, maybe capture the flag.
Yeah.
Or if I know that being in the air is going to give me a strategic advantage for this one life that I'm using, and then I'll switch back.
I pretty much just use... Jetpack's pretty cool. I do like
the fact you can change your loadout when you spawn. I like that dynamic of the game.
Yeah, it keeps you guessing. But at IGN said to change it up frequently because people will get used to what you're using. I don't know. I've never really tracked.
There's lots of bugs in these game types.
I think IGN is just kind of bullshit. It's like I've never seen somebody, that's Jetpack guy, that's him. I know strategy.
I never really.
Like, I don't care who you are. I'm just going to kill you no matter what you're using.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't remember that this dude, like, whenever. You can't even see their gamer tags, really.
I mean,
oh, I'm shooting at him. He's got armor lock. Better stop shooting until I get close to him. Or, I never thought about
I like how people still come up and try to smack you when you have armor lock.
Yeah, that's
like,
the best.
Oh, thank you for lowering your shields for me. Yeah, I'm gonna have my buddy just come in and headshot you now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love the new pistol too.
I don't.
I almost prefer it over the DMR sometimes.
Oh no no.
The
no,
what? The needle rifle?
No, the pistol.
Oh yeah, pistol's good in short range situations.
I don't like
I always switch to pistol when I'm short range, but from anywhere from like mid to long range, I stick with DMR.
You can spam that pistol as fast as you can in short range, and you can take down people pretty quickly.
I guess I'm just not good with it yet, because I don't really like it.
I don't know, I'm better with the needler rifle over the DMR, though.
I think I'm better with the DMR than the needler rifle.
I haven't gotten a good feel for the DMR yet.
I do like the needler rifle. It seems to be more accurate, but I can't get headshots with the damn thing.
I think the bloom on the weapons though should be more
decrease.
Be more progressive. Like the faster you fire, the more it goes out instead of just when you fire one, it goes all the way out and then comes back in. I think it should be more progressive.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Either way though, I would get used to it.
Because I'm used to shooting like the BR where, I mean, yeah, there's no boom effect, but I still think it should be more of a progressive out instead of just you shoot one shot and it's automatically out. You don't know where the next shot's going to go.
You should send these to Bungie because I didn't even.
I plan on sending this podcast to Bungie.
Oh, really?
Like, just listen to this show.
I don't think they do that. I don't know.
I've got an issue with the grenade mounts.
Well, yeah, me too.
You throw it and it just like it just kind of rolls. You know, it doesn't bounce.
I think they actually implemented physics on how the grenade hits the floor is how it's going to bounce. I don't think it's a perfect spherical bounce anymore.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like been part of my arsenal for years is the grenade bounce. If I got someone behind me, I do a quick turnaround, grenade bounce it into his face, and then shoot him. You know, that's the classic.
Well, and there's little. Like, you can bounce it off bodies, you can bounce it off skulls, you can bounce it off flags, you can bounce it off anything, and depending on how that surface's angle is, has a dynamic effect on how it's going to bounce.
No, but I'm saying my angle of inflection is, like, it should bounce up.
And I don't like how the grenade's at the bottom of your reticule now. It used to be at the top. Like, when you throw it, it goes...
Yeah, that's weird, too.
I don't know if you've noticed that. I've noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed.
What do you mean?
You have to readjust for.
Because your grenade used to come from the top of your reticle. This one, it comes from the bottom. When you throw it.
Yeah, it affects the trajectory of it. Your trajectory is much lower than it used to be. Huh. So now you got to kind of aim a little bit higher than you normally would when you're tossing a grenade.
Yeah, because it's at the bottom of your red.
Yeah.
And
he throws it farther, too. Throws the out of that thing.
The grenades are too powerful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
that's
an understatement.
They need to bring back the incendiary grenades, because we use those all the time in Halo 3.
Oh, that'd be fun.
By about 20% in Reach over Halo 3.
If they bring Firefight back, I hope they bring the incendiary grenades.
That'd be funny.
I love sending brutes on fire.
Oh, I think
I gotta wonder if we've seen all the weapons.
If you could like burn a flag.
This is it.
You think that there's gonna be something else?
I don't know.
Like they never said that they're getting rid of the battle rifle, did they? Did they say it's never coming?
Yeah, they pretty much definitively said DMR is the new battle rifle. Okay. This is it. Get used to it.
I mean, you think that we would get more?
Except the DMR isn't the battle rifle because the battle rifle you have the sure shot. It's gonna go where your reticle is, and
but this is the this has replaced the utility of the battle rifle. I'm not gonna admit I like battle rifle better, but the situations in which you would use the battle rifle have been replaced with the DMR. Like situations where I would have BR'd someone in the face, I now have to DMR them in the face.
I would have BR'd.
Oh no, I find myself using the pistol a whole lot more.
Well, in what? In, like, long range? Are you, like, cross-mapping people?
Yeah, I'm cross-mapping people with my pistol and stuff.
How are you cross-mapping the thing is, the pistol's too slow with its bloom. I can get headshots with the pistol from across map, but if their shields are up, they're going to get away before they get killed. Because that pistol bloom is, like, massive. You can't spam that pistol all the way across map. Now, when you're at short range, yeah, you can just spam it into their body.
No, I'm spamming it across map. I'm using it more than the DMR.
Well, I don't know how you're doing it. Because I'm going to go into sword base, and I'm going to cross map just with the pistol. I'm going to see what the bloom on that thing is. I'm just going to spam it as fast as I can.
Well, I'll spam it as fast as I can because I can.
I
can shoot it a little bit faster than the DMR with the bloom more closed in than the DMR is by the time I shoot my second pistol shot.
We need to test this. We need to go into an arena where it's just me with the DMR, you with a pistol, same distance, same level. We're not going to be like high ground, low ground, or whatever. And we're just going to see who can get the kill faster.
Maybe my aim just sucks and I get lucky with the pistol. I don't know. But at least from what I've experienced.
But I mean, that just kills the point of the DMR. Like, I don't understand why they would put the DMR in there if the pistol's just like the end all be all.
No.
Well, we'll test it. I don't know. I don't like the DMR anyway. I don't know why
I like the needler rifle over the DMR. I'll take it over the DMR in a heartbeat.
I don't like the rate of fire on the needle rifle. It feels weird. Maybe it's the same as the DMR, but it just feels weird when I'm shooting.
Maybe I have this wrong too. It seems faster than the DMR actually.
Maybe.
It seems to be more accurate to me.
I'll be glad when they fix the reticules. They've already said that they're going to make them less transparent in the retail version. Because right now, I cannot see that reticle at all.
I do like the tracking reticles for when you have the needler or the plasma pistol. They'll show you where to actually track.
Where you should go.
Where it should go.
Where you should put your weapon at.
Well, it's actually pretty helpful because it'll tell you, okay, I am ready to lock on. Instead of guessing, am I at the right distance to lock on? Is he too far to my side to lock on? Or
yeah,
yeah, I like it too.
Has anyone tested the lock on ability for the new rockets yet?
No,
I didn't even know you could.
Yeah, the targeting for the rockets is supposed to be back, and you can use it on vehicles.
I saw how it went red, and then when I shot it, I was like, what the fuck? And then it went red and white like the old rockets you could lock on did. And then I shot it, and then it just went. So I don't know if I actually could lock on.
No, they came out and said that you should be able to lock on the vehicles with the rocket launcher.
Yeah, I've seen videos of it.
I haven't seen a video of it.
I just assumed it was just like Halo 2's version.
I think that's what they said it would be. I didn't know you could do that. I tried to do it a few times, because it would turn red and white. Like, the little thing would go around it. Like, it used to have those four triangles, and they would spin. It showed the same thing, and I was like, oh, how? And then I held down the trigger, but it just shot. So I just assumed I did it wrong, or I'm not too sure.
Maybe you don't have to hold down the trigger anymore. Maybe you just got to keep your reticule on it until it goes beep, 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 and then hit the button. I don't know. That's kind of stupid though, because I like the old way of locking on with holding the trigger. It just feels right, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if they should have it though. I don't really like the whole lock on thing. Period.
No, I wish they would get rid of the lock on and increase the speed on the rocket, because right now that rocket moves way too slow.
And I don't like the grenade launcher. I don't understand how in the world it. It decides to go where it decides to go, because that thing, I'll shoot it somewhere and it'll end up on the other side of the room, and I'm like, I don't know how in the hell that thing got over there.
Oh, it's because it bounces like crazy.
Yeah, I go
once it hits the ground, bang, bang, it like,
bang, bang. Like what's like that?
Will it bounce?
Yeah, it's like a pinball, dude. Bounces when you like, hit it on the ground, like ricochets.
Like in that one,
I've never
video
seen it ricochet. I've seen it like change trajectory since it's following someone.
No,
but
no,
I've never seen it bounce.
It bounces. Like, it's good to shoot from one room into another room, but I don't. That's the only time I've ever. Like,
are we talking about the plasma launcher or the grenade launcher?
Grenade launcher.
Dustin was thinking about the plasma launcher. We're talking about the grenade launcher with the canister.
Okay.
Yeah. The grenade launcher, when you shoot that thing and it goes nuts.
Yeah, that.
And it's basically, if they come up close to you, you have no chance.
That's like a bouncy ball.
Like, even if you, even if you hold your thing down and then let go, it doesn't go off.
It should be a grenade, since it's a grenade launcher, not a bouncy ball.
Well,
it doesn't have a rubber tip.
It shouldn't bounce as much as it does. Like, the utility of, you know, holding it down and then having it in the spot when someone walks by. I try to use it, but every time I try to put it in the good spot, it bounces out, you know? Yeah.
I'm going to shoot it right here. Boop. And it goes on the other side. And it goes boop, 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 boop. Oh, great. I didn't want it at my feet. I wanted it on the other side of the room.
That's not to say I don't like the grenade launcher, because I love that thing. When I'm playing on Invasion, and it's the third phase, and they haven't pulled the core out yet, like, I just wait, and they come down that hallway. I'm like, poof! And then I hit them right in the face. It's great. Because they can't evade it. It's in too close of a space.
It's very good for long-range use, but I don't think it's good at all for close-up. Because if you try to put it into a certain spot and it's close, it's not going to go there. But if you try to shoot it, like, in the core room from one side to another and hit the guy on the other side of the room, I've done that a few times. Or, like, hitting a tank or a ghost, that's worked pretty good.
Yeah.
But not inside of a room where it can bounce off walls and...
I don't do that. I don't bounce it off of anything when I use the manual. What I do is I hold it down and then I blow it up in midair. I don't bounce it into them.
I just try to shoot it at them and hopefully it goes off by itself.
Yeah.
If you can get that off in midair with a jetpack guy, they're toast.
I always use the manual detonation on that thing. I've never used the automatic. Now, you have to use automatic at a certain range. If they're too close, you have to use the automatic because it takes a second for the manual to set. So, if someone's up close and you just want to kill them so that they can't take your grenade launcher, just pull the trigger once and forget it.
Okay, I haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with this, but what's wrong with the Stalker loadout? There's something wrong.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know. It doesn't seem balanced for how it's used. I mean, you can't hear anything. When you're walking, you're not really invisible anymore. But the rate of camo goes out quicker. And
it's for basically
something seems off about it.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
And when you do,
I've used it. I haven't effectively used it.
And when you do split screen, it'll cancel out the noise for both players. I don't get that either, because I was playing with a friend over at his place, and
he
had Stalker. All the noise went away all of a sudden. I didn't have Stalker. Oh wait, he's using it. I can't hear squat.
So the people are, when you're on split screen, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that sounds pretty darn cool. It goes, whoa. I think that's cool. But, I mean, I haven't, the only time I could see that being beneficial would be, I mean, I use it a lot in Invasion when I'm an elite. That's the class. I picked the Neander class with that one. That's really the only time I ever used the darn thing. But,
But I think that when you're walking that fast and you're losing your loadout ability more quickly, but people can see you. It's like, if you're losing it that quickly, then people shouldn't be able to see you if you're walking. Make it to where that you lose it that quickly, but people still can't see you. Like, you're using up more energy to preserve your camo because you're walking.
Yeah. I guess it is good if you're trying to get away, too. Because you could just... active camo and then try to hide somewhere, and it is quite hard to see it when you're not moving. That person's not moving, it's quite hard to see them.
It's tough.
And for the with the radar jammer, they should make it to where the dots are on multiple levels instead of just the level he's on. So it's like, if you're in Powerhouse and someone goes camo downstairs and you're upstairs, I know exactly where he is. He's not in my room right now.
I don't know. I don't think that the radar jammer is a good idea, because... Like, if you see your radar going like that, you know somewhere around you is invisible. I don't really...
Yeah.
Like, I start looking more closely at what's going on. I don't think that that's a benefit. I think they should actually take that off. Cause
I think they should take that off and take your dot off.
Maybe they can jam yourself, but not jam the other people. Cause,
okay, that makes sense.
I mean, if I don't like... Because the other people know you're around. Is because let's just say, for the example I just used, if I'm trying to hide from you and I use my invisibility, the guy knows you're invisible.
You're not hiding anymore.
Yeah.
Because his thing's going nuts, so he knows you're hiding.
And he knows what level you're on, depending on where you are on the map. He knows exactly where you're sitting.
Yeah. So
it's,
I mean,
a dead
giveaway. I don't think you should do the radar jammer.
Or do the radar jammer on the person, not everyone else.
Yeah.
What else?
I think that the jetpack should have a cup holder.
Why?
So how you can you, put your big gulp. Think about it. What if you get a Slurpee at 7-Eleven? Where are you going to put that thing when you're flying around?
So you want companies to be able to advertise in Halo?
Yeah. Dude, Halo branded Slurpees, delicious. They did it with Mountain Dew. There is precedence for this.
In game?
Not in game, out game.
So you're gonna be.
But I'm just saying, think about it, Matt. The Spartans like Slurpees too. I don't know what flavor. Probably like wild cherry.
Maybe when they make a costume version of it, they'll put the cup holder in. But not in game.
Oh, dude, what if the jetpack had a Slurpee machine on it?
Oh, God.
And, like, people could, Slurpee. Like, come up behind you and, like, pull the lever down and go Slurpee?
So it's jetpack / Slurpee machine.
Slurpee machine, yeah.
Wow.
Is that what the loadout's going to say? Portable Habib or something?
Welcome to the Quicken Mart.
Is that what they're going to rename the loadout to?
Yep, Slurpee.
Portable, portable hobby.
Portable 7-Eleven.
Let's see, what else? Anything on the vehicles front?
No, they're all... I mean, the Warthog, I like how the turret...
overheats.
Yeah, I like that.
It feels weird now driving it.
The tanks...
Yeah, it does feel weird.
It's all bulky and stuff. It doesn't burn as fast. Ugh.
The suits are heavier. You can't go as fast.
Yeah. Here's an issue I have.
The same, and I don't like the... I don't know. Like, one time I jumped into a Banshee, and it wouldn't shoot the normal plasma bullets. It just shot the fuel rod cannon, and I couldn't figure out how to make the thing shoot the
Right. Well,
that was just one time. I mean, it did all the other times. It just didn't do it.
Listen to me. Oh, did you use the switch?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Nowadays, on the Banshee, you have to switch between the fuel rod cannon and the normal just plasma cannon.
You do?
I didn't even know that.
You have. I think it's a grenade switch button. You have to hit the grenade switch button.
Oh, what?
Between fuel rod and plasma
really?
Cannon. I couldn't figure it out for a while either, and I was like hitting buttons and then I hit the plasma or the grenade switch button and it switched to fuel rod. It's stupid.
I jumped right out of it. I couldn't figure out how to. As I was shooting fuel rods everywhere, and I was like, "What the hell?" And then I just jumped out, and I was like, "Screw this."
And it doesn't tell you that either. It doesn't say like hit blank to switch to fuel rod. Like you have to figure that out yourself, and it took me a while. It's
be cool
stupid
if,
because
that'd be cool if the Warthog had that. Like you could switch between Gauss and turret, that'd be pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, that'd be sweet. Because I just use Gauss the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
Funk. Funka.
I love the Gauss cannon. Mm. I miss it from Halo 2.
Okay, Brent, you can start.
You know, it would be funny if someone like had the jetpack loadout and there was a glitch in the game, and if you used the jetpack while you were in the passenger seat, you could actually lift the hog.
I'm pretty sure there's a way to do that. That would be cool.
No,
be
like, better yet, when the hog explodes, like you eject out, you just like shoot up into the air. It's like,
like that's what I would do if I saw a laser on my hog, and if I had the jetpack, I'd be like, peace.
<Slow you. laughs>
Start attacking it.
That would be awesome.
Someone should make a machinima on that.
Oh, man.
That would be in Ravens. But yeah, I mean, I think overall, if the Reach beta did what it's intended to do and figure out glitches, if this was the original release like most games are, then like Call of Duty, released with a lot of glitches and then they fixed it as it went. Like, I'm glad that they went ahead and did this. And
oh yeah, there's certain things
that they definitely fixed.
Yeah,
they're definitely
they figured out.
That they wouldn't. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they would never have thought about the transparency of the bloom. I mean, everybody bitched about
it. Well, it's not that. What they said was they knew basically what they said is that's a placeholder, and they just didn't take the time to switch to the new reticules.
Oh, so they knew that before they launched.
Yeah, they're like, dude, this is just placeholder, but we don't have time to put in the new reticules, so just give them those.
Can't they just swap out bitmaps? For something like that?
Or something. I don't know. But they said that they knew about it. It was a design thing. It was their design team that screwed up. So blame the artists. Blame the artists for your transparent reticles.
Isn't that what they always say?
Yeah.
Don't blame the... Don't.
I don't know. The reticles themselves were transparent, but the bloom part didn't seem that transparent, which was the odd part.
Yeah. As long as they fix it, I don't care what happens.
Just blame the artist. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to start doing that for whenever I can't do anything, even though it's not the artist's fault. Like the whole grenade launcher bouncing around the room. I know that's not the artist's fault, but I'm just going to blame them.
Here's something we haven't talked about, and this might be a good topic to kind of start wrapping things up on. How you get rewarded credit points and how you rank up. We haven't talked.
I like the idea of accommodations. That's good. I like that because it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing. Because I've got, I think I'm tier 4 in assists, and I don't know anybody else who is, at least through checking. And I think that's quite awesome, even though they don't really show it off as much as I think that they could. For you get multi-kill accommodation, the assist accommodation, the car accommodation, and all that good stuff, or the vehicle. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Accommodations.
Yeah, yeah. And I like how it gives me a ton of points. I like that.
Oh yeah, I love that. I like when you get 25 points in one match, I'll be like, oh yeah.
I think it's quite cool, but I haven't changed my armor, and I'm not going to, so I really don't care.
But with the new ranking system, do you like it? You don't have a number rank anymore. You have just your military. Credit.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I like being. I mean, I think that'd be a good idea if they would have to have a ton of ranks, because if it's not a ton, most people will have it within the first month, and then it'll just be like, oh, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they only have a certain number of ranks for beta.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got to have, if it's sub 50 or like
something like 15 or 20.
No, I mean, if it's under 50, I don't think it's going to be worthwhile trying to get. Because, like, realistically, Brent played almost 200 games, and I'm pretty sure he got a ton of accommodations. And you have, you're a grade 3, right?
What, me?
Brent, yeah.
I'm max rank. I maxed it out.
So I'm pretty sure that, like, if Brent could have the chance of doing it within a month, he would have the top rank. So I don't know. I don't think 20 is enough. It's got to be something that's going to take me 6 months to get. Like, I cannot get a 50 in Halo 3. I mean, I've tried my ass off, and I can't. And a lot of people have, but
yeah,
just I tough. Can't do it. So I think that they need to do it kind of the same way. They need to make it tough. Or, like, at least the last 5, you have to win the game to get your accommodations or something. I'm not too sure. Some kind of weird thing. Maybe all of them, you should just be able to win the game. No, that's not fair. Yeah. We get an asshole teammate. That's not too fair.
Yeah.
I do like the idea, though, that if somebody leaves the game in the arena, if they leave 2 games in the arena, then they're banned for a week. I like that idea. That is great. I hope that they do that in every playlist. If you leave two games in the same day.
Arena playlist, yeah, not necessarily.
I mean, if ones that don't that rank don't matter, then I guess that's not too big of a deal. But I hate when people quit. That is probably the thing that pisses me off the most. Because you cannot win.
They need a vote kick, too. Because this is where I've had... I want to say bad word right now, but I've had people come in and they're just team betraying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can boot people if they betray you.
But there's still points where they're not betraying you, and there's... like the stockpile game types, when you have the flags and the territories, and someone's just waiting there to pick up the flag and drop back in to get the points. It's like
they fix that.
Well,
or they're gonna fix it for Vault.
Do you think that there's gonna be clans?
Here's the problem with vote kicks. I go into matchmaking, okay, and I get match made with three wipes that know each other. I haven't done anything. They decide they don't like me very much, and they vote 3-1. My one vote to kick me. Okay, so they have a majority vote, and all of a sudden I'm kicked out of a game because they're wipes, and now it's going to show up on my record that I was booted, and I get a loss. Yeah, that's the issue I have with that.
I don't like the idea.
No, that makes sense.
Do you guys think, because when you are leader of the active roster, you can press Y and you can browse between stuff. Do you think that means that we're gonna be able to check other people's friends list, or we're gonna be able to have a clan? Because why else would they make that? Because you know what? When you're an active roster, you can hit Y and then it'll ask you what to choose from. You want to choose from your friends list. It only gives you your friends list as an option, but it says option.
Or a party.
No, or your party.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that they would change that to other people's friends list or the clan? Does that mean that they might?
No.
Maybe, but I'm going to say no.
Doubt it.
Don't think so.
Doubt it.
Now, if they had clans, it'd be awesome, but is Bungie really going to do that? I don't think so.
On a vote.
The game would be too cool then.
Would you
they
got to
start working on that new thing for Activision, Activision Blizzard.
Activision.
Active Blizzard.
Blizzard.
Yeah. I wonder what that'll be. I guess they don't want to make Reach too good because they don't want people to play it after.
I hope that they just like
work
with
they think that way, though,
Blizzard
that,
on a next MMO.
That, like,
that's my bet.
What, do you think that they would do that? Not make Reach so awesome because they don't want people to play Reach too much? Because obviously the next game is going to be different.
No, that's not how Bungie works. Bungie puts out a quality product no matter what. That's Bungie's ethos.
Who's going to be in charge of DLC after Bungie's gone? Would it be 343 or will it be Gearbox or I don't know? I don't know.
Probably 343 Industries.
I'd be very. I think it'd be quite cool to see if other people can mess with the code and what they would do with it. If another, like, let's say if Halo reaches the last Bungie game, but Bungie's done with it, and then 343 can mess with it, like if they added clans or if they could do something, that would be quite cool.
I'm not gonna lie, and I've said this for a while now. I would totally be fine if, like, after this, Halo becomes like an Unreal Tournament style thing where it's not single player. But they release new multiplayer, like, it's just complete multiplayer, maybe every 3 years, or 2 or 3 years. Like, it's like, this is the new Halo multiplayer, check it out. Check it out, y'all!
Like, it should be kind of like how Guitar Hero is.
No,
right,
don't...
No, hold on, like it is right now. Not like how they're releasing it every couple of years, but how they're doing it, how they have been. But right now, they're not releasing any new ones, they're just downloading Mac packs. Like, I can see, they just release Halo, the multiplayer game, and then, like, they just do DLC update support. Like, there's no point to
buy. You wouldn't buy Halo Tournament?
I would. 2010? Let's do it. We should send a poll out to people and then send it to 343 and see if they'll do it. But Bungie wouldn't make it, so.
Yeah, they're moving on. At least trying to, maybe.
I wonder if that the aerospace theme or thing that Bungie made, if that's the same engine that they made Halo Reach with.
Halo Reach was built on the a modified Halo 3 engine, wasn't it?
Yeah, but is that the aerospace engine? I mean,
But can you call it that? If you just take an engine and then modify it, can you consider it a brand new engine?
I mean, look at the Unreal Engine. People make modifications to it, but it's still the Unreal Engine.
I know, but do you, like, I'm saying, whenever, that's like an Unreal mod. It's not released as a new engine. If you mod the Unreal Engine, you don't put it out as an entirely new engine.
I see what you mean.
You see what I'm saying?
But I mean, so would Bungie sell the Halo 3 engine though to 343 to continue the Halo franchise?
I don't think they can sell it. I think 343.
They don't own the engine. There's no way they own the engine. I can see how they own all the Halo IP.
Bungie owns the engine.
I can see how Microsoft owns the title and the
Spartan.
The engine's going to be completely different. I don't think Microsoft.
I think Bungie owns the engine. I think Bungie owns the code to the engine.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume. I don't think Microsoft owns the code, but I think if Bungie could sell the code to.
I'm saying if Bungie made a new engine using their past experiences with other engines that they don't own, they could definitely do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They might not own the Halo 3 engine, but they own an engine using people that made the Halo 3 engine. Okay. You know?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you're going at.
I think that they still own the Halo 3. I mean, I think Microsoft owns the Halo 3 engine. I mean, Bungie owns it.
I don't know.
Because if not, I can see Halo Tournament coming out. That'd be pretty cool. But if they had, like, Spartans not in their armor as mods, that'd be crazy. It's like, you just get this big guy with some big old muscles running around with a huge beard.
Muscly.
Dude, I would do a Sage mod.
Really? Are you going to do, like, Lost Planet and do, like, Marcus Fenix cameo for no reason? You gonna put Marcus Fenix model in the game?
I would.
Lost Planet 2 got blasted in the reviews.
I know everybody who I know who's bought it likes it a lot, so.
Mm.
I'm not gonna play it though. That with Red Dead Redemption coming out. If there is a game
with Red Dead Redemption coming out, I'm excited for that. I want to try the multiplayer. Like the idea of posseing up on horses and like shooting rival gangs sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's like what I wanted all along. It's like Grand Theft Auto without the city. It's like Grand Theft Auto in the West. The old West.
Like Grand Theft Auto, but like Firefly. That'd be kind of cool. Like Star Wars is going to be pretty sweet. The Old Republic is going to be awesome.
Princess Coat?
Are you going to get the Old Republic?
No.
Come on.
I'm holding out for Final Fantasy 14. I only have room for like two MMOs in my life. First is World of Warcraft, which I can never quit. Like at this point, it's just like ingrained into my lifestyle. It's like, what do you do? I play games. Well, what else do you do? Well, World of Warcraft. Like I don't even consider World of Warcraft a game at this point. It's just it's its own entity.
But LEGO Universe looks pretty cool, so I'm just gonna put that out there.
Okay, well, we've had submissions for this week, but we're going to go ahead and pass those up and go ahead and wrap up the show for this week.
Yeah.
So we'll read them next time, and we'll ask for formal submissions next time as well.
Yeah, I think next time we should just do an overall reach.
Is that not what we did now?
I mean, for submission.
Well,
I don't think asking for a certain game type is going to be relevant because they can't.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking of doing was having a show dedicated to the maps where people send in their, like we talked about it today, but have people send in their stuff talking about what they think about the maps and then another show about the game types and then just leave it at that and that'll be our reach coverage for now.
Then the weapons and then the armor permutation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll have two or three shows.
We're set until it reaches retail release.
Thanks, Bungie.
No.
I'm blaming the artist on this one, too.
Yep, I blame the artist.
Giving us too much source material. So how did you like the shading of the sky? We should have that the sky episode about which
talk about the skybox
satellite dish.
Potty McBloggy sent me a screenshot of the satellite dish on Twitter the other day.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Did you drool over that?
Yeah, it's like, oh baby.
Okay, well, until next time, guys, we're gonna go ahead and sign off. Hopefully, we'll be back in the week.
I'll see Destin tomorrow.
Yep, I'll be in ATL.
Yep, he's partying with Greg up in the ATL. So.
or sleeping.
While I just sit here and play Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
Alone.
Greg, I wish I were you. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Wish I was playing Red Dead Redemption.
Maybe I should rent tomorrow so we can do it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Maybe. I need a cup holder.
Okay, we'll get Brent his cup holder and then we'll see.
Where's my fiber?
I need a cup holder.
I need a cup holder.
This week on the GamerCast Network. Some things are more important than podcasting, like telling mom how much you care. The post-game report returns next week. What's the crew's impressions of the new Steam client? Find out in Video Game Show episode 193. On Sarcastic Gamer Pink, Harlequin, Jax, and Esmeralda discuss Jax's gaming issues, Luigi's Mansion, gaming badges, male and female mail, and more. Discover the community that brings you all these great podcasts and more at GamerCastNetwork.com.